First scripture reading this morning is from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 4 through 7 and 10 through 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have children. Encourage your children to marry and have children. Multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where you have been exiled, says the Lord, and I will bring you back home. Amen.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Peter's first letter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 and 8 through 9. It starts off like this. I, Peter, am an apostle on assignment by Jesus, the Messiah, writing to exiles scattered to the four winds. Not one is missing, not one is forgotten. God, the loving parent, has an eye on each of you and has determined by the work of the Spirit to keep you connected through the sacrifice of Jesus. May everything good from God be yours. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have this loving parent of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a living hope and a future in heaven, and the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when we will have it all, life healed and whole. You never got to see Jesus in person, yet you love him. You can't see him now either, yet you trust him with laughter and singing. Because you keep on trusting, you'll get what you're looking forward to, the restoration of everything broken. In this, we can rejoice, even though we have to put up with every kind of aggravation and trial in the meantime. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This week has had its ups and downs for our family, as I'm sure it has for most of you. We got the news that school will be closed 2 weeks longer than anticipated, and we're assuming that closure will extend further. We learned of the first person we know who likely has COVID-19, and we received the stay-at-home order, which, although it didn't change much practically for our family, seemed to put a real damper on things. We're adjusting to new realities of working from home while parenting 24/7. I hope you don't hear too many thuds and thumps as they're playing upstairs during worship. We're doing all of our ministry virtually. We're yelling at friends from across the street instead of hugging them. And we're doing the social distance shimmy at the grocery store and every time the mail carrier delivers a package. Many of you are trying to figure out adjusted hours or lost income, farming out errands and delaying appointments to safeguard your health, and navigating homeschooling or trying to keep your families healthy while working essential jobs. Rules keep shifting, and the date for when things will return to normal keeps getting pushed back. In fact, I'm not really sure we'll ever return to normal in the exact same way that we used to know it. Our theme for today is hope, but with a week like this, in a season like this, you'd be forgiven for asking, what is there to be hopeful about? I've spent a lot of time with the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament in the last few weeks. And I have to say, it's very reassuring because in the Hebrew Bible, God is always doing things like saving people from devastating floods or leading people out of slavery or guiding them in the wilderness or feeding them during famines or helping them to flourish in exile. In this morning's reading, for example, God is reassuring the people that even though they are now in exile in a foreign land, far from home, and with limited sovereignty, limited control over their own circumstances, God will one day return to them what they have lost. "I will restore you," says God, "and gather you from all the nations and all the places where you have been exiled, and I will bring you back home." Then God writes them what I think of as a one-line love letter. "For surely I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord, "plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Reading that out loud, my whole body relaxes. We have a future, and it is a hopeful one, one mapped out by a God who loves us enough to have provided every needful thing for our well-being. Did you notice, though, what God tells the people to do now before that longed-for future arrives? God tells the people to settle in for the ride. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have children, encourage your children to marry and have children, multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. I think a lot of us probably started off this whole experience thinking, 2 weeks off school, 2 weeks of working from home, well, you know, that's inconvenient, but we can handle that. It'll be like an extended vacation, a staycation. We were looking forward to the end of our own quarantining even before it had properly begun. But as our home, our time at home stretches out into the foreseeable future, I think the mindset of focusing on an end date may be doing us a disservice, not least because it feels like the goalposts keep getting moved. The attitude that this weirdness is just something unpleasant to be endured, a reality we'd rather not be experiencing, a bad dream that will go away if we just close our eyes long enough, that attitude can rob us of the opportunity to do real good while we're here. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce, seek the welfare of the city where you are in exile. How could this time prove constructive for us, fruitful? How could we invest ourselves in the place we find ourselves now, not the place we wish we could be? I'm not talking about logging more hours at work or homeschooling our kids 8 hours a day, or even about finally tackling that home improvement project we've put off. In these oh so strange times, let's resist the temptation to keep defining ourselves by our output and instead reap the fruitful harvest of the altogether different worldview we're being invited to embrace. Because indeed, these are strange times. And the strangest thing is that there is a lot to be hopeful about amidst the fear and anxiety. People are being good to one another. They're reaching out and sharing freely of their creativity, checking on each other, offering grace and understanding with unheard of generosity. We're adjusting to a slower pace of life, a more natural life-giving rhythm that reminds us our worth isn't in how much we produce or earn. We're spending a lot more of our days outside, getting more quality time in, either in person or virtually, with people we love. As we talked about during our Lenten study series, global carbon emissions are way down. And every time we go online or talk to a friend, it seems there's a new joke to share about neighbors having a case of Corona, that is, a case full of Corona beer on display in their front yard, or a quarantine workout. We've seen that video where the lady says, "Work those thighs and sanitize, work those thighs and sanitize." We sing that a lot at our house these days. Life these days is both and, both doom and gloom and heartwarming, both depressing and uplifting, both hard and sweet, both sobering and funny, both terrifying and hopeful. The good news is that both and is God's specialty. God meets the people. God meets us in disaster, in slavery, in wandering, in exile, and it's there that God proclaims a future of hope. It seems counterintuitive, but for God's people, hard times are exactly where hope flourishes, drawing sustenance from the goodness we dare to cultivate in the shaky, uncertain present. As Peter writes, if we can keep on trusting God, we'll get what we've been longing for, the restoration of everything broken. And in this, we can rejoice, even though we have to put up with every kind of aggravation and trial in the meantime. Christian author Anne Lamott opens her book, Almost Everything, Notes on Hope, with this passage that was written 2 or 3 years ago, but reads like current headlines. I am stockpiling antibiotics for the apocalypse, she says, even as I await the blossoming of paper whites on the windowsill in the kitchen. The news of late has captured the fever dream of modern life, everything exploding, burning, being shot, or crashing to the ground all around us. Even while growing older has provided me with a measure of perspective and equilibrium and a lovely long-term romance. Towns and cities, ice fields, democracy, people, all disappear, even while we rejoice and thrive in the spring and the sweetness of old friendships. There is so much going on that flattens us, that is huge, scary, or simply appalling. We're doomed, stunned, exhausted, and over-caffeinated. And yet, outside my window, yellow roses bloom and little kids horse around, making a joyous racket. That's exactly it, friends. The both and I think if we can embrace the both and, recognize the difficulty of where we are, but also the joy and the sweetness unexpectedly popping up, I think with God showing us the way, that's how we'll make it through. So may we embrace and encourage the goodness and beauty all around us in these difficult times so that God can nurture in us hope for a fruitful future. Amen. Go now out into this week and out into your homes or for a walk around the block, as we're not really going out into the world much these days. And look for ways to invest in our current situation with as much love and goodness as you can muster. And trust that God will bring those investments to a fruitful future full of hope. Go in peace.